Bruce, would you mind if we ask you to come forward and kneel here on the altar? I'm going to ask several of our men who have any would like to just come and put your hand on Bruce's shoulders. I'm going to pray for you. And there are other people here this morning who have lost loved ones recently, going through storms of different kinds. And let's know we include you in this prayer time together this morning. Let's bow our hearts together, shall we? Brother Bob, again, would you pray for us, buddy?
Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you now, dear Lord, and this time of need, we just pray that you be with Brother Bruce, dear Lord. Heal his broken heart. Give him courage and strength to keep going on, dear Lord. Like we said before, this is just a bump in the road. And we know that you're going to get them through this. We just remember, you know, just like they just sung, dear Lord, keep our eyes on you. And, you know, as long as we do that, all things are going to be good. You know, it's not going to be easy every day. And we just thank you that we know that you can get Bruce through this, dear Lord, and him and his whole family, dear Lord. Just be with them now in this time of need. We ask all these things in your precious name. Amen.
And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. Bruce, just know we're praying for you and your family, my brother.
Thank you.
That passage that says, bear you one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ, it comes to my mind every time I think about when somebody has a hurt or a heartache. We ought to lift each other to the Lord together in prayer. Thank you for your sweet spirit. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your worship this morning. It's been a sweet, sweet time in the Lord. And let me put your mind at ease. Even though I sound terrible, I don't feel bad. And this something must be in the air, I guess. I don't feel bad, but I just voice is not very strong, but you'll probably reap the benefit, and from that sermon will probably be relatively short this morning. That'll be all right. There's a wonderful passage in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. In fact, several chapters we'll go through there, are all Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. On the Galilean hillside, our Lord gathered a group of people, and they gathered to hear him preach. And Matthew here has recorded for us some of the words of our Lord, what has come to be known as the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus was a simple preacher. Simple. In fact, you never had to worry about what he just now said. You could understand it clearly. I remember years ago being in Zambia, Africa, and we gathered together at a home on a ranch or a farm, and had a lot of the workers there that morning. And Junior Hill preached a brief message. It was probably 10 minutes long and very simple message. And there were six or seven people saved that morning. You've heard the testimony this morning of the UT experience. What a great testimony that is.
Yeah.
And the sermon doesn't have to be long for it to be effective. And I pray the Lord will use the reading of the passage in Matthew chapter 7 to remind us of some very wonderful, powerful truths this morning. Beginning in verse 13, reading just two verses, verses 13 and 14. Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Again, Jesus was a very simple preacher, simple by design. He didn't want anybody to misunderstand what he was saying. And Jesus was reminding his listeners that in the world in which we live, we're all of us are on a journey to eternity. You ever looked in the mirror and you thought, what happened to that young man or young lady from long ago? Some of our sweet friends, they've just come back from Gulfport, Mississippi, where I was pastor of Grace Memorial Baptist Church in Gulfport, and was there for 4 years before coming to Bartlett. And I get tickled. The Gins have enjoyed showing my picture around. You wouldn't recognize me. I had hair. I had dark hair, I mean. Thank God I've still got a little bit of hair. But as I look into the mirror and see the changes that the years bring, I'm reminded we all are on a journey to eternity.
Amen.
This old world, we're just passing through. We're headed for somewhere that's eternal. And the real question this morning is, which road are you on? And every once in a while, as I'm preparing to preach and just thinking about what we're going to preach, I'm reminded that I never know who's going to be here on a Sunday morning. As far as lost or saved, somebody's backslidden, or somebody who's got a broken heart. The truth is, every once in a while, the preacher just needs to preach an evangelistic message to be sure everybody, all of us, understand clearly the wonderful truths of God's Word. And this morning, as we think together about the message simply entitled, The Journey to Eternity, the three very simple truths that I want to share with you. Several things in each of those I want to think about together. The declarations regarding the journey, the deception along the journey, and the decision, or decisions along the journey. First of all, the declarations regarding the journey. Jesus said very clearly in this somewhat of a parable that he told, we are all on the journey to eternity. What really matters at the end of life is, what did you do with Jesus? And I'm reminded that the Bible can remind us, today is the day, and now is the accepted time. In fact, the Holy Spirit always moves and woos us to come to Christ now in faith and in repentance and surrender. We're all on the journey to eternity. We all need to be sure that we're prepared for where that journey is going to end. There are two roads along the journey to eternity. And the truth is, we don't hear much preaching on both roads. And we hear a lot of preaching on heaven, which we should. The Bible says there's a place called hell. And it's reserved for those who do not know God. And it's a place of torment and suffering and darkness and shame, sorrow and hopelessness. And I'm reminded that all the Word of God is the inspired, infallible Word of God. I'm reminded just last week or 2 weeks ago, when Lee and I went back to Alabama for a service at the church I used to serve there, we drove to a little place called Valdemosa Springs. Valdemosa Springs is close to Lacey Springs, where I was raised. Valdemosa is just about 5 or 6 miles away. And as we drove through there, I reminded myself of the Sunday that I preached there many, many years ago, about 1970, a long time ago. I didn't realize that my mother had planned on coming that day, and she surprised me. She came in, and as I was preaching, she sat on the back row about where Bruce is now. What I really didn't expect was, I preached a message that morning, young 19, 20-year-old preacher, and I preached on hell. And I'm sure it was kind of a rough sermon because I was preaching on a rough passage, a difficult text. But the Lord had led me to preach a sermon that morning on hell. And I just simply tried to do my best to share the gospel that hell was an eternal place and God didn't want anybody to go. And he's done everything he can in his power to deliver us from the jaws of hell. But that Sunday that I remember, my mother, during the invitation, came down the aisle, and when I asked her why she'd come, she said, Jackie, as a little girl, I professed my faith in Christ, but over the years I've come to realize that there's some things about that I'm not sure I understood, I'm not sure I knew, and I want to be absolutely sure that I have given my heart to Jesus. And my mother surrendered her life to the Lord in a little country church when the preacher preached on hell. And what I was saying is this, God doesn't share these wonderful truths to scare us. He does so that we might be making preparations, realizing we're all on the journey to eternity. And one of these days, when the last words are spoken over us, the only thing that will really matter is, what did you do with Jesus? So the declaration is along the journey. We're all on the journey to eternity, and there are two roads along the journey to eternity. I realize that in preaching, you always need to preach to the needs of people, preach the Word of God, preach to meet needs. But we've come to a place probably in our culture where it's not very popular to preach on a subject like that, and I understand why. People don't like to hear a sermon on hell. But Jesus was an honest preacher as well. And we talked about what it means to be saved. He always reminded people there were two roads, a narrow road that few people find, it's sort of made up of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and a broad road made up of all the rest of creation that has not given their hearts and lives to the Lord. There are two roads. I believe there's a literal heaven. I believe there's a literal hell. And I believe the Lord gave himself on the cross to deliver us from that terrible place called hell. He didn't want anybody to go. So the Bible says today is the day, and now is accepted time. He didn't want anybody to suffer that horrible anguish of eternity. The third truth under the declarations regarding the journey is not everyone is going to heaven. I love that wonderful song, When We All Get to Heaven, and that's a reference to we all as believers, the church, the body of Christ, the redeemed of the Lord. The truth is, there are a lot of folks who aren't going to make it to heaven. It ought to break our hearts. It ought to burden our hearts. We ought to have a heart that's broken for those who don't know our Lord, realizing that their destiny is in the balance. I shared this illustration several years ago when I first came to be your interim pastor, your supply preacher. Liv and I and our three children were living in Weatherford, Texas, one of the first places we lived was while we were in seminary. And it was on a Saturday morning, I believe. I'm not sure, but I believe it was on a Saturday morning. We lived in a beautiful little country house at the bottom of a long hill and a highway just outside. And we heard the sound of a car coming down that hill. It was obviously coming very fast. You could hear it running. I hear the sound of the motor. And we came to find out that it was somebody who was test driving a Corvette Stingray. They'd just gotten from a dealership, and they were winding that thing out in all four gears or five gears. They got to the bottom of the hill, and one of the tires on the Corvette blew, exploded. The car flipped in the air, and it threw the driver out. And the car wound up laying on top of the driver. And Libby and I rushed to the driver, and thank God we were able to get him out from underneath the car. And he survived. But little could that driver have known when he went through that dealership and asked for a test drive, little could they have known that he was going to go on a road that's going to be life-altering for him. And he didn't realize where that road was headed. And if somehow, if there's somebody here this morning that's not here, that is here, who doesn't yet know the Lord Jesus Christ, you may not think that this is an imperative. The thing is, there's nothing in life more important for you than to be sure that you know that you know that you've given your heart and life to the Lord, that you've repented of sin and by faith trusted Christ. The declaration is along the road, there are two roads. Not everybody's going to go to heaven. But the truth is, a subpoint, the Lord wants everybody to go, and everybody can go that will trust the Lord, whosoever shall willingly come and call upon the name of the Lord. The declaration's along the journey. We're all on the journey to eternity. There are two roads along the journey. Not everybody is going to go to heaven. Our prayer lives ought to be bathing the throne room of God with our prayers for our lost loved ones, because there are two roads. Then there is, secondly, the deception along the journey. The devil is a liar. That's one of the subpoints that they have on your outline there. The devil doesn't want you to think too much about the journey to eternity. He'll tell you things like there's plenty of time and you don't have to worry. And surely, God's a God of love. He wouldn't allow anybody to spend eternity in a place called hell. But the devil really is a liar. The Bible says today is the day. Now is accepted time. And for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says it's not the will of the Father that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In fact, the Lord gave his life on Calvary to rescue and redeem us from eternity without God. Deception along the way includes these truths. People don't understand. More people are going to miss heaven than make heaven. Now, when you think about that, it's a sobering thought to think that somebody could live in America with the gospel on every hand, a church on every corner, and not be aware of their need of Christ. And the truth is the message of Christ is the message we need to be sharing with everybody we can, while we can, where we can, because the devil has sold us a bill of goods and a lie. The devil is a liar. And the deceptive road is the broad road is a deceptive road. I've likened in my thinking construction crews and road construction crews who are careful to put out barrels and warn you to change lanes and flashing lights, all of which are good. The devil's going to try to take down all those barriers. He's going to try to take down all those warning lights so that you don't really have a clear understanding of the fact that you're on a journey that could wind up spending eternity in heaven, in hell. More are going to miss heaven than make heaven. The broad road's a deceptive road. The devil really is a liar. And as I was praying through the message this week, I added a fourth subpoint. Some people expecting to go to heaven will not go. In fact, the Bible speaks to those that would stand before the Lord, and the Lord said, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you." So what does that mean for us? We've got to realize that a lot of folks are lost and don't realize the imminent danger that they're in. They're one breath, one pulse, one heartbeat away from an eternity without God. So the journey to eternity has many declarations regarding the truths of that terror story. The deception along the journey is the devil's going to do all he can to steal your understanding of the journey to eternity. And then there's the decision along the journey. These are almost simplistic, but they're simple, hopefully enough for all of us to understand. You and I choose our path or our destiny. Now, the Lord draws all of us to Him by grace through faith, but the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." There's not anybody in this room, nobody, that would ever dare think that they would desire to spend eternity apart from God. Nobody. The truth is, we choose where we're going to spend eternity. We choose because there's only one way. It's that narrow way called the way of the cross. The songwriter wrote, "The way of the cross leads home." It's good to know that onward and go, the way of the cross leads home. When you and I choose our eternal path, our destiny, and the truth is, there's only one way. Whatever the liberal theologians may say, the cross is the only way. Jesus died as our high priest, as our sacrifice and our offering, laid his life on Calvary's cross for our sins, was raised again the third day, and is coming again one glorious day. And the Bible says that you can be saved, but there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. So the journey to eternity is a journey that's marked by declarations that are clear. And the Lord wants us to understand them clearly. The deception along the journey: some are going to miss heaven. The broad road's a deceptive road. The devil's a liar. And some people expecting to go to heaven are going to miss it. But then the decision along the journey: you and I choose our path, our destiny. There's only one way to prepare for eternity. And that's through the precious blood of the Lamb of God. And I said in point number C under Romans number 3, you can choose heaven today. You may have gotten up this morning and had a day full of plans and things to do. That's good, well and good. You may not have thought that the Holy Spirit would confront you with claims of Christ. The truth is, God doesn't want anybody to leave this service this morning without a clear understanding that you've given your heart and life to the Lord, that you've repented of sin, and by faith invited Christ into your heart and life. If you've not done that, I beg you, I plead with you, do it this morning. And say an eternal yes to Jesus. You say, "Brother Jackie, why?" Because we all on the journey to eternity. Would you bow with me for a moment, please?